I'm your host, Beverly Prentice, and you're listening to Beyond, an hour-long program of science fiction, fantasy, myth, and adventure. If you enjoy the program, please drop a line to beyond3x5@gmail.com. Thank you.
Heart Shock by Nick Wolven. At first, Maya can't figure out what's happened. Then when the shock fades, she can't believe it. The world is throbbing, shooting pain through every nerve, and Maya's whole existence at the moment is dark. Then she starts to hear chatter, human noise, shifting bodies, plus a screaming of alarms, and feels pressure, a hand on her shoulder, firm. "We did it!" Astrid's voice is like something high and far away, a star far north of the galactic plane. "It's over, Captain. We won." With growing consciousness comes a surge of nausea. Maya opens her eyes and sees white. She panics. Her eyes. Then remembers with a tingle of relief the captain's visor and whips it off to find herself secure in her flight web, limbs all akimbo, entangled in the harness. Chaos boiling on every side. Scrape of flight webbing drift above the gimbal chairs. Gossamer litter in the ship's filtered air pumped hither and thither on the jets of leaking coolant. All the conning screens are burned out and fuzzy, roiling with randomness. Visual noise. Astra's hand starfishes down. "Here, Captain, let me help." Maya waves her off. "You're hurt," Astrid says. Still flapping her hand and shaking her head, Maya reaches for the back of the harness. They have gravity, at least. She has to haul herself up, sweat pouring from her face. Astrid winces. Maya flashes a smile. "Captain stands alone, right?" She points at the screens. "We flying blind? EM got knocked out by the shrapnel. I can get visuals, though." "How?" "Switch to the sub-spec pings. Run a targeting sweep with the seismic array. Use the grav wave scatter." "Do it." They hustle through the madness, Astrid distriding, Maya limping. Astrid's hands on the weapon station move practiced ease, trained by years of conflict, expert at their task. Their martial grace now oddly reassuring, like some ancient ritual of healing or care. Conning screens blink on, ping, 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 and there's quiet, deep, ubiquitous, cosmic quiet, like the hush that settles after a bomb. Then the cheers start, uncertain at first, but slowly building, strengthening. Whispers break into shouts, then whoops, and then all hell is rollicking through the deck. Suddenly every possible emotion is swirling around Maya at once. Astrid gropes for her hand. In the screens, the shockwaves are dwindling like a bad moon, dissipating into the warp and woof of space-time. Against the universal backdrop of stars, new glitter stirs, a shifting cloud of debris, which Maya realizes is all that remains of the orbital battery once known as Morbus. "It's gone," Maya whispers. "Gone. All." They turn and come together, waltzing on those hard steel plates until it's impossible to say who's leading, who's following. The captain or her first, the commander or her soldier, or merely two old women laughing like lunatics, born together on the mysterious currents of history. And we'll have to open the records, reappoint the council, reach out to the protectorate directors, and do it fast if we want to earn the trust of the neutral worlds. In the wardroom, the petty officers are drunk. Maya watches from the command console, a passive observer to the celebration. Yasha, the quartermaster, is posed on a table, mag boots clicking in a clumsy jig. She sings anthems of the first assault on Andragora. Battle hymns from the dawn of war. 5 raid squad leaders are gathered below her, wearing the rag garb of the bandit guerreras, raising bubble glasses and shrieking cheers. "The Aramar Alliance," Astrid continues, and stops, leaning forward to peer at Maya's face. "Are you listening, Captain?" "I'm listening." Maya's eyes are on the party. Astrid darts a disapproving glance at a table collapse, and bubble glasses go flying. "Isn't this all a bit premature?" Maya smiles. "It's been a long campaign, has he?" I couldn't have stopped this celebration if I tried. They're drunk. Maya's smile gets wider. I let them tap the Roshivan. It seemed the right time. You're too lenient. They're guerreros. Light-riding Amazons, star banditas, gunnery queens. You know the hymns. Lovers in peacetime, lustful in war. Astrid rolls her eyes. A crash breaks through the conversation, chairs and tables toppling with a clatter, as groups of laughing bandita soldiers tumble to the floor. Just so long as they aren't lovers in victory on the deck of our war. Maya shrugs, pointing at the tablet. You were saying? Right. Astrid looks down. The Aramar Alliance. They've tendered their concession. That leaves the Antipodean web. The Korins operate on Einstein time. When they get news by the light relays, they're bound to follow the rest of the net. The pieces are falling one by one. Maya nods. Her headache's getting worse. She squints, watching Astrid bend over the terminal to load the latest relay reports. Maya's body tingles, damaged by Poincare shocks. Micro distortions of strong and weak forces burning in her cells. She winces as she swivels her chair. Astrid notices. Of course she does. She rests a hand on Maya's elbow. Captain, honestly, are you okay? Fine. Just tired. You sure? I'd better be. I'm the boss. Take a break. I'll fill in. You've done enough. No, not till this is over. But Maya relents. A little. Look, you're right. I took a squirt of that sub-spec blowback. Hit me in the heart. She pounds her chest. Thump, thump. We knew it was a risk before we authorized the strike. Now stop worrying. I'll get my vacation after the armistice. The Allied States are settled. Good. What about Lavalis? Astrid's eyes flick to the terminal. We've relayed terms to the Mark Air Arbiters. They're bound to accept when they assess the situation. At this point, they really have no choice. You sure about that? Astrid's face is grim. Even the Mark can't ignore its brute physics. Resisting a fleet without orbital defense? It's planetary suicide. Still no answer. Maya closes her eyes as pain washes through her. I don't know. We have them pinned, but this is the Mark we're talking about. What's your counsel? Counsel? You're asking me? Captain's orders. Tell me what you think I should do. Astrid's mouth hangs open. Well, her counsel, comes a voice, will be disciplined, practical, thoughtful, and useless. My counsel, Captain, is to hit them where it hurts. And Legate Farron comes clicking across the deck, dodging revelers and flying bubble glasses. Pale, lean, quick, eyesight, and bald. She cuts the crowd like a laser. Even in half-grav, Farron manages to make everment into a small assault against the... Surrender? Farron's gray eyes flick to Astrid's terminal. That's a nice thought. You can float here for 12 relaxing revolutions, beaming parleys at the ground, but it's not going to change the situation. Waiting is not how you end war. Neither is dropping payloads on civilians, Astrid says. No, Farron plucks up a bubble glass, sipping pink Roshivan through the pipette. You think the Mark would hold back in your place? Dropping payloads on peasants was their governing philosophy. And look how it worked for them, Maya says. Farron's mouth curls, her eyes the color of dirty water, glide slowly over Maya's frame. You all right, Captain? You seem tired. Try wounded, Astrid says, in battle, leading the rebellion on behalf of your people. Really? How charitable. I thought it was on behalf of the Allied worlds. Farron's thin lips purse around the pipette. She sips luxuriously and lets out a sigh. Don't exert yourself on our behalf, Captain, now that the Marks slad their way with us. There aren't that many of my people. Enough. Maya stands, ignoring the pain that ripples through her, and shoves back her chair. She plants a finger on Astrid's terminal. We've sent our ultimatum. If the Mark won't submit, we'll take appropriate action. Will you? Farron's gaze is cutting, as if she can see through Maya's chest to her injuries, the quantum disruption sizzling in her heart. The Arbiters seldom respond well to weakness. Watch it, Astrid says, shoving back her chair. No, you, Farron begins, jutting out a finger, when the deck lights flash and an alarm begins to bleat. Captain? The petty officers freeze, drunkenly gaping. Tosh, the comms director, echoes through the thaw. That's the proximity alert. What? Maya squints at the wallboard. He's right. The sitrep blinks pink, meaning imminent contact. Astrid bends to the terminal. It's a bogey, all right. Coming in 2 degrees high at lat 15.72. Interception and 6 standard demi-days. Captain? She looks up, squinting. It's from the planet. Farron laughs. They couldn't be so stupid as to launch ordnance. From their position, we'd dust their biosphere. No, Astrid peers closer. It's a shuttle. Single occupant. Unarmed. She glances up, brow furrowed. They're flying without clearance. They all stand silent, thinking over the possibilities. Someone bringing terms? Suggests Maya. Turning traitor. Astrid bites her lip. Could close the distance, scoop them up before they change their mind, or before someone changes it for them, Farron says, by liquidating their brain mid-flight. Maya's already walking. Let's go. By the time Maya limps to the quarantine bay, the shuttle is gleaming between the dockage clamps, a lozenge of low-drag, high-boost carbon shedding, the dregs of its plasma call. Maya waves off the guards. She limps into the filter field, breezes, buzzes of pan scan, tickling her skin. Speckles of phosphorescence sparkle around the shuttle. Traces of biomatter, wicked off by static and vaporized in the infants. Astrid hurries behind. Are you sure this is wise, Captain? Dismissing the guard? Maya grunts a non-answer. Her heart feels like a half-pulped orange squeezed in a contracted fist of pain. She stumbles. Farron watches from the view deck, eyes slitted. You're limping, Captain. The way you look and pinch an ass without breaking thumb. You sure this is the image you want to project? Maya limps on, ignoring the comments. The filter fire is subsiding. The shuttle cracks open, a gray shell yielding its transorbital secrets. Let me call a retinue. Astrid reaches for a terminal. For once, Farron agrees. Do it, Captain. You're a tough old. I cede the point. You won the argument. Don't throw the war. I'm fine. Maya trudges on toward the ship. The hull splits open at her approach, spewing vapor, and a segmented gangway unfurls like a tongue. The woman who steps out is cocooned in flight gear, stumbling with acceleration shock. No guards accompany her. No retinue. No drones. Maya could spit in the woman's face and there'd be nothing to stop her but a few trips of twill. Who are you? Maya stands at the base of the ramp, blocking passage. The woman looks down with G-blurred eyes, fatigue-lined face illumined like a skull in the merciless lights of the quarantine bay. Thin lips flare back from artificial teeth. My name is Mare Ove Norin, and I... She stumbles, clutching herself on the gangway rail, and fumbles in robes the color of plasma, extracting a markstone, the rough disk clustered with bright data gems. I served for 13 years as first arbiter of the mark in the summary chamber at Teal Valis. Shoot, witch, Farron says without pause. Astrid steps forward. Maya? Maya holds up a hand. She climbs the gangway step by painful step and gives the interstellar gesture of greeting, followed by a question. Why are you here? The woman, Mare Norin, smiles tightly. I have come to offer myself to you, Captain, to turn myself over to your custody and to... A momentary spasm distorts her features like a ripple of gravitational disruption. To beg for your forgiveness. There's silence in the bay as Mare Norin adjusts her robes, gathers her strength, and sinks to a knee. I have come to make myself your prisoner. She's telling the truth about her status, anyway. I ran her scan, the indices. Our data's from the relay back out, but we have no reason to doubt her account. The rally room's display is meant for fleet-wide broadcasts, one to many and many to one. The room is far too small to be occupied comfortably by 3 people at a time. Maya hunches in the captain's cradle while Astrid works menus and Farron paces the walls. In the globe of the viewing sphere, Mare Norin sits in her cell, indifferent to the cameras on every side. Her eyes are downcast. What is she feeling, no wonders? Despair? Desperation? So she's who she says she is, and she's right where we want her. Farron gnaws a thumbnail. All the more reason to finish her off. Maya squirms. The pain is worse when she sits, but she feels too tired to get up and stretch. She needs distraction, anything to take her mind off the micro-disruption stinging in her cells. What about our ultimatum? Any answer from the mark? No, Astrid frowns. And I don't think this woman represents them. Whoever she is, she came on her own. Good. Farron glares heat death at the screen. When we're done with her, we'll save a piece of her body and ship it planet side, tied with bow. Maybe that'll inspire these people to take our ultimatum seriously. Captain, Astrid leans over. Can I speak freely? Always. This woman came to us for mercy. Please, Farron snorts. For mercy, Astrid insists. She's unarmed, undefended. She seems contrite. Now, I'm not saying contrite, Farron explodes. The woman's a Valisian. Is contrition a relevant consideration here? Maya, Astrid presses Maya's hand. I've served on this vessel for 15 years. I was with you when we dead-dropped into Normala, long falling through the satellite rings. I ran behind you in the charge on Nueva Civ, pressing the Infowar station by station, winning over the maintenance crews. We built this fleet by speaking to the people of the Arm, world by world, heart by heart, convincing them to join our cause. When we took a company, we offered clemency. When enemies surrendered, we pardoned and moved on. We never abandoned an ally on the field, and we never murdered an opponent in cold blood. We fought the war with ships and guns, but it was justice that won it for us. Of course, Farron glares, eyes like thick ice. And now the war's over, and justice must be done. Maya looks into their faces, one dark and wrinkled, one hard and pale. Her heart beats so hard she imagines it shattering, hammered to bits against her ribs. The worlds didn't rally to us because they love us, Farron snarls. They joined our cause because they hate the mark. If we pat the hand of every penitent tyrant, we'll lose the support we fought to gain. The citizens of Lo Vallis are human beings, Astrid rises stiffly. Can't wipe out a whole planet's population. That's the Valisian way, not ours. The only option is to find some means of integrating them back in. If we're too harsh as conquerors, we'll have a new rebellion on our hands before the old one's over. The trick, Farron says, is to be just harsh enough. She drops to a knee, meshing her hands over the back of her neck after the custom of the old queens of Jatta, and lowering her eyes. Captain, we haven't always seen eye to eye, but I've been loyal to you every moment of this flight, and the loyalty of an adversary is worth more in war than the counsels of an ultimate friend, an intimate friend. I've never hidden my beliefs. I've always given honest counsels of an... Now I tell you what no one else will. The people of the League need blood. Farron meets Maya's eyes. The woman stares like the gaze of the stars themselves, a blast of radiation. Not all people, perhaps, but there are those who remember what the mark wrought on Jatta. Genomes seeded, corrupted with killless nips. The people monitored day and night. Citizens infected with the marks. Viral triggers twisted at the slightest hint of dissidence into mutants. Exiles, monsters, freaks. Prisoners of our own violated bodies. Our souls held hostage to our hijacked cells. Every citizen of Lo Vallis is complicit in those crimes. Enriched by our torture, suckered on our suffering. War is a she-wolf. Politics is a... The goddess of justice weighs blood against blood. The people of Lo Vallis must pay for their crimes. Maya sits, considering their faces. Soldier and leader, lover and rival. She thumbs the comm. Tell the prisoner I'll see her now. Mare Norin waits icily in her cell, hands folded, chin high. Is the woman resigned to her death? Maya wonders. Or is this merely the calculating silence of a master deceiver? Maya bends to the viewing sphere beside the door, searching the grooves of that implacable face. Farron coughs behind her. You won't learn anything that way, Captain. She's got a mesh of neural overrides in her cheeks. She can switch to whatever expression she wants. Maya sighs, palms the pad, and limps in. The guards follow, spreading throughout the room. Knife-eyed banditas, prepped with reflex triggers, trained and muttered to kill without thought. Mayor Norin, unfazed by their presence, gazes up with eyes like glass. Ilfedana, Mare Ove Norin. Maya sketches the traditional Velisian greeting. Now that we've confirmed your status, allow me to offer a more formal introduction. I am Dame Mistress Maya Lim Astaragora, captain of the Flying Spike and acting genetrix of the Restoration Forces. This is Astrid of Ol, my first preferred, and Legate Ferrin, ranking Madre of the Data of the Jaten Assembly, an onboard attaché from the Committees for Restorative Justice. Mayor Norin's eyes glide from face to face, settling at last on Maya's chest. You're hurt, Captain. Wounded, Astrid intercedes, by the blow that destroyed your orbital defenses, and still perfectly capable, Ferrin snaps, of giving the order to have you put to death. Mayor Norin accepts the threat, nodding curtly. Hotshot, she murmurs, the word purring between them like a secret. Pardon? Maya blinks. Heart shock. Localized effects of subatomic wave interference. Similar to rad damage, but impossible to shield. A common side effect of the use of gravitational disruptions on high mass targets. Mayor Norin smiles grimly. My people call it the sinner's sickness. The Jitans, I believe, call it Heisenberg's revenge, while the Coalites have a similar term, Arjuna's folly. It is widely perceived as a form of cosmic karma, the price an enemy force must pay for ordering from afar the destruction of worlds. Your people know nothing of conscience, Ferrin spits. You know only pain, destruction, and deceit. We know something of physics, too. Mayor Norin straightened her robes. The effects of heart shock are random, distributed in unpredictable patterns around the center of a disruption. It's really just bad luck that you, Captain, happen to be affected. Astrid steps forward. Be that as it may, you've lost orbital security. 3 rotations will have 500 doomsday-grade wave and emanators distributed in geosynchronous orbit around your planet. Your people have to know they've lost the war. Question, Mayor Norin says mildly, is whether my people know they deserve to lose it. The silence in the cell is disorienting, like a shift in grav settings or a shiver in the air. Even the guards are edgy. Maya holds her breath. Her chest pain spikes as if it really is a karmic punishment, waxing to the judgment of the stars. You know how it feels? Mayor Norin says shakily, composure giving way to emotion. To realize that you're the villain of history, that everything you've owned, everything you've loved, was bought with the wages of sadism and fear, that you've become complicit, along with your loved ones, in an evil so vast you have no hope of expiation, and must throw yourself on the mercy of your victims and let them defend and decide what punishment to inflict. Is that why you're here? Farron's eyes are narrow. To beg for your life? I'm here to offer my life, Mayor Norin sighs, and to deliver a message. I know the people of Lovalis. I've lived among them since I was born. I can tell you this. They will never surrender. Not wholly, not willingly. They may agree to terms, they may negotiate for peace, but in secret they will always resist your rule. In every federated land, in every march of the overstate, in every council of every city, on every landmass of the world, there will be people who defy you. And one day they will rise again. Against you. Defeat is a bitter drink. Maya draws a deep breath, speaking through the claws of pain in her chest. Conquerors often become oppressors in turn. There must be some way to strike a peace that will mutually be agreeable to... No! Mayor Norin rises from her bench, all composure lost, and stalks the cell, robes whirling. Not here. Not for Lovalis. Never. But why not? Astrid frowns. Why can't our people, after all this suffering, 'cause we know what we are? Mare Norrin's voice trembles with passion, shaking the folds of her deep-lined face. Deep down, don't believe the sweet-tongued optimists who would try to persuade you of our better nature. We are the people who purged the crater states, turning every inhabitant to dust. We are the ones who perpetrated the psychocide of the Gernites, wiping the minds of 3 billion souls. We seeded the child plague of the 33rd eon, starved the ice worlds of the outer web, forced bred an army in world wombs of Mirori, and sent it to be slaughtered in the radiation wars. This is our heritage, this litany of sins. We had any sense of justice, we would punish ourselves until the last Valesian received her own confession and knelt in the dust to slit her own throat. How can we allow ourselves to be judged when we know the only just sentence is death? So be it, Farron turns to Maya. They understand what must be done. Maya holds up a hand. Mare Norrin has stopped pacing. Maya wonders what those eyes are seeing, how much a human mind can grasp of the collective evils that have been done. You repent, then. Mare Norrin turns. The fit of passion has passed, replaced by cold silence. Maya realizes she is seeing a process that must have been played out 1,000 times over the course of this woman's life. Righteous fury given way to grim despair. I repent. Yes, I and many others. There are more of us than you might think, Captain, especially in the upper chambers. We whisper in secret. We confer with each other, sympathizers, rage at our neighbors and fellow citizens. Secretly, I think we despise ourselves. Yet you've done nothing, Farron spits. Mare Norrin sits unmoving. At last she looks up, as if startled from deep thought. More than nothing, less than enough. There have been plans, schemes, none of us will ever know. I suppose how many millions might have been saved if we'd had the chance to put our plans into effect. And what reward do you expect for all this whisper in the dark? Absolution? Honor? Farron's voice cracks like ice. A kiss on the cheek? Mare Norrin shakes her head. It's not an answer. Maya perceives this gesture, but an admission that there can be no answer. How many? Maya's voice is a croak. These conspirators, how many are you? Hundreds? Thousands? I can give you only a handful of names, but those I name will name others, and others in turn, and in time you may uncover 1,000,000 scattered souls. We're not conspirators, however, I must correct you there, no more conspiratorial than anyone on Lovallis. Only better at lying. We had to be. We're the only ones who ever faced the truth. And you expect some sort of lenient treatment? Mare Norrin leaps to her feet. No. Listen, Captain. We expect nothing. We only speak the truth. But we're pragmatic. Every citizen of Lovallis is a sinner. Not every one of us, however, is a sadist. There are some who have recognized all along the justice of your cause, who saw past the propaganda, who resisted the war fever when the time comes to decide our world's fate. It may be in your interest to remember who we are. What do you want, then? Maya is surprised to hear her own voice sound like Farron's, cold and cynical. If not absolution or indemnity or treasure, what have you come here to find? The very same thing you came here to deliver. Mare Norrin steps forward. The guards advance. But the old woman gives no signs of aggression, only holds Maya's eyes as she says, "We want justice." Maya is an atom. She floats, eyes closed, knees to her chest in a sphere of empty space, ignoring the call of angry static burning around her heart. Solitary, free-falling, alone and peaceful, poised at the dreamy origin of the world, Maya opens her eyes. The ship's speculation bay wraps around her like a soap bubble. The core of the flying spike is a spherical void, wrapped in a vast convex visual display. Maya, curled in a fetal ball, hovers in the weightless point at its heart. Around her, displayed in the curved screen of the wall, are the stars. Billions of them. Below looms the blue orb of Lovallis, scabbed with continents and swirled with clouds. Above, corralled in four-meshed nets and filaments, float the dusty remains of Morbus Moon. Left, right, ahead, and behind, there is only the immensity of the cosmos. A beep sounds. Maya strokes her captain's bracelet. Astrid comes kicking through the unlocked portal, sailing in a weightless dive to Maya's perch. Here, in the free-floating core of the ship, there is no weight, no direction, only a bubble of silence where a model universe twinkles like a dream. "Somehow I thought I'd find you here." Maya uncurls, her chest screaming at the movement. Poincare pains crackling through her lungs. She gulps down the pain. "Any word?" "Not yet. They still haven't even acknowledged receipt of the ultimatum." "And the other matter?" Astrid takes Maya's hands, her fingers strong, insistent.
"You need rest, Captain."
"I am resting." Maya grabs a cord, swinging herself out of the equilibrium zone, fetching up at the viewing grip along the wall. "I've been thinking." "That doesn't sound restful," Astrid sighs. "Thinking about what?" "The past." Maya flexes, hooking her knees on the rail, and hangs, staring up, or maybe down, at the cloudy infinitude, the stars. "Do you think it was always like this, Essie? Way back, do you think things were the same for them?" Astrid gibbons off a grip and lands beside Maya, expertly aiming herself at the rail. "You're going to have to be a little bit more specific. You know, our forebears. Humanity. Version Alpha Prime." Maya extends a hand toward the wall, fingers silhouetted against a sprawl of stars. "They have to cope with those contradictions?" "History," Astrid mumbles. "Ancient history. Did you know they used to fight with their fists?" Maya smirks at the image. "Hitting? Punching? Sometimes with sticks? There was none of this remote aggression. Gene hacks and kill snips and cognitive corruptors, grav wave emanators, the power to shake worlds apart." "No world wombs either," Astrid yawns. "They propagated in pairs like dogs." "Maybe that's why they were so much less deadly," Maya sighs. "Too much to do, too much to lose. They never understood war, I think, not really. It was a kind of pastime for them, a diversion." "I'm sure they didn't see it that way," Astrid taps her bracelet. "Norin sent her list. I'll transfer it to you. Her list of allies, sympathizers, she calls them, friends, commiserators. There are quite a few names here, more than she led us to believe, mostly from the administrative classes. Civil servants, intellectuals. She did say her views were more commonly held among the elites of Elysian society." "And not especially common at all." Maya glances at her bracelet as the file chimes home. "Schemers and plotters, whispering secrets. That's always been the Elysian way." Astrid shrugs. Her gaze is intent. She wants something, Maya senses. "After all these years, it's easy to read her." "I can broaden the search," Astrid offers. "We might extend the list. There's no telling, really, how many of those people down there secretly sympathize with our cause." "No telling," Maya agrees. "That's true." "Captain?" Astrid's tone is formal, but there's intimacy in the way she meets Maya's eyes. "I know what you're thinking, and we can't do it. Just or not, fair or not, it's no way to end a war." "You're giving orders to your captain now?" Astrid jerks back. It's a change in their relationship, a sudden one, and it almost sends Astrid wheeling into free fall. "What makes you think," Maya says, adjusting her grip, "that I've decided on any course of action?" "They're not innocent," Astrid speaks carefully. "I'll grant you that. But they're human, all of them. Even the ones who..." Seeing Maya's expression, Astrid drops her eyes. "The Maya I knew, the captain I served, would never wipe out an inhabited world." "Farron's right," Maya says. "Our followers won't be satisfied with surrender. They fought for more than surrender, for revenge." "And Norin is right also. The Velisians, the bulk of them, won't accept defeat easily. They're a proud people. They understand force, not mercy. The way to end a war is to end it," Maya says, striking the wall screens, making the curved display of the universe quake with rippling distortions. "Decisively, finally, to win so thoroughly and conclusively that no one can ever doubt that's what's been done. To make it clear to every ally and enemy that the horrors of the past... Maya gasps and breaks off, clutching her chest. Heartshock quakes in her, like a nova, waves of agony blasting her nerves until she's sure the universe is sending a message, transcribing some ancient code of pain. Astrid sweeps forward. Maya brushes aside her hands, hunches her knees, and kicks off the rail. Her bracelet is beeping. She raises it to her lips, straining to think as anguish fogs her mind. Yes, we have word, Captain, from Lovallis. Maya listens, bracelet to her ear, while Astrid edges forward. Have they surrendered? Astrid bends to listen to the bracelet, straining to overhear the soft words. Are they setting terms? Maya shrugs her aside, listening. She lowers her arm. Let's go, she mutters, swinging toward the hatch. Where? Maya glances down at the nadir of the chamber, where patterns of land and sea swirl like a carpet. Planet side.
The Valesian interstellar reception zone sits on a sterilized knob of land, artificially elevated into the sky and located far out to sea, defended by static filtration fields and the natural barrier of the salt ocean. It is a place of coldness and windswept stone, an oasis of lifelessness in the midst of complexity, a carefully preserved relic of the harsh conditions of the virgin cosmos. A Valesian palace, Maya thinks, as the shuttle descends, cold and severe, exhibiting the strange allure of adversity, perhaps even of death. The gate sensors blink permission, and Maya steps down onto the rock field, following her retinue across the waste. Ahead, the arbiters of the mark perch on their dais, with the Overmare floating above the others in a maglev trunnion of sun-flashing steel. Even in defeat, the women are haughty, greeting their conquerors with chins held high, bitter smiles slashed into their faces. As Maya leaves her retinue and mounts the steps, the Overmare slips from her seat to the flaggings. She kneels, but there's arrogance in the slowness with which she bends her knee, pride in the glitter of her upturned eyes. Welcome, Genetrix, to Lovallis. Heartshot crackles in Maya's chest. She waits for the heralds to complete their formalities. Drone voices, heavy with the stentorian tones of history, toll over the empty sea. If anything, her pain has become an asset, scouring distractions from Maya's mind. She gives the interstellar sign of greeting. We have summoned you here, the Overns, to discuss the terms of our No, Maya's voice is softer than she'd intended. A whisper scarcely louder than the sea wind, but it is loud enough to silence the Overman, who draws back in shock at Maya's effrontery, lips tight. We have come, Maya says, to convey to you the thoroughness of your defeat. There are murmurs among the arbiters, even among Maya's own retinue. Maya holds up a hand. We have destroyed your orbital defenses, establishing field dominance over your world. Your planet and all the matter within it, as well as the life upon it, is now a parcel of our dominion, which you continue to inhabit at our sufferance. Enjoying the life-sustaining conditions, it is our pleasure to maintain. All that remains is for me to instruct you in the terms of your submission. Mare Norin, taking this as her cue, steps out from among Maya's retinue. The arbiters gawp. There are murmurs, a rustle of agitated feet. The Overmare stands. What do you mean by quiet? Maya's voice is gentle. For eons, the people of Lovallis have slaughtered the children, tortured the citizens, and extinguished the cultures of the allied worlds. A debt is owed, blood for blood. No reckoning of lives or riches will ever suffice to make this debt whole, but a portion must be paid. And how do you propose? Maya again holds up her hand. The words come slowly, forced through the web of pain in her chest. She turns to Mare Norin. We have learned there are people among you who have, for many years, been sympathetic to our cause. This woman, who says she has spent her life in secret defiance of your regime, fled your world to escape Lovallis's legacy of evil. She has given us the names of other high-placed people who similarly claim to have lived their lives in quiet repudiation of your society and its crimes. She has come to us as we prepare to render judgment on your world, to remind us of an important truth, that even in a sick society, rife with propaganda and lies, there are some who can still discern right from wrong, who dissent in spirit if not in deed, and who come forward when the balance of power shifts to denounce their former associate. Mayor Norrin listens with a quiet smile. Proud smile, Maya thinks, not very different from the smile of the Overmayor, a smile of cold assurance, a Valisian smile. Maya touches her bracelet, signaling to her ship. She holds out her hand toward the Overmayor. As a demonstration of our power, a concession to the injured parties of the League, and a token of our goodwill toward the common people of Lovallis, we will now eradicate these deceivers in your midst. The Overmayor cocks her head, eyes narrowing as she realizes what Maya has proposed. There are stirrings on the plaza, murmurs in the crowd. Mayor Norrin glances from side to side, her smile slowly collapsing into a scowl. What is this? What are you saying? Already the first distortions are forming, tiny plasma curls in the air. Mayor Norrin's eyes widen, her lips slicing back from clenched teeth. Captain, she said stiffly and slowly, as if fearful of being misheard. I surrendered. Maya waits. An attendant courtier, watching from the viewing gallery, lets out a scream and falls to her knees, clutching her chest as if to prevent her heart from bursting. Nearby courtiers scramble and run. An arbiter shrieks and plunges to the earth, clawing her robes, wrestling with some burgeoning agony inside her. I told you, Captain, I'm a follower of your cause. I never supported these people, not I. I was with you in spirit all along. There are no beams of light, no fires, no shots. The effects of the process are largely invisible, concentrated. Maya knows, on the skeleton, interference shaking through wave patterns converge. It can seem as if the process is highly localized, focused near the center of the chest, near the heart. I came to you, Genetrix. I bent the knee. There's others are your enemies, not I. More arbiters fall, a guard, an aide. A woman leaps from the edge of the dais, popped in midair like a roasted seed. A cluster of courtiers huddle together, screeching for mercy, as dust clouds rise from the earth around them and the air begins to shiver like smoke. Then there is a thump, a throb of heat, visual distortions, and prismatic refractions, sometimes even a thrum like music as the micro-singularities form. Mayor Norrin reaches out to grab Maya's arm. Her body shivers, not with emotion. Maya can see her eyes blurring like bells and knows the woman is already blind. Norrin screams through vibrating teeth as her hips and shoulders give out audible cracks. Her last words as she crumples to earth are a whimper Maya scarcely hears. Why me? Then there is nothing more to say. Maya averts her eyes. With the final stages of the disintegration in process, she feels it would be undignified to watch. When it's over, Maya climbs to the dais. Sobs echo faintly across the plaza. A woman sets up a keening wail. Maya is unsurprised to see that many arbiters have vanished. Fewer of the attendants, still fewer of the guards. Apparently, Mayor Norrin spoke this much truth. Her allies were concentrated in the upper classes. The Overmayor crouches on the dais, jaw clenched. She, at any rate, has been spared the purge. Maya takes out a pocket emanator, presses it to the woman's forehead, and fires a point-blank pulse into her head. To the remaining people of Lovallis, Maya says, crossing the dais, mounting the Overmayor's troon, and speaking into the dais relays, which return her voice to her as a boom out of the sky. I offer this assurance and a warning. Many high-placed people who sought to betray you have been destroyed today. At the end, they revealed themselves to be deceivers. Perhaps you, the common people of Lovalis, were yourselves deceived by the falsehood of your leaders into supporting an unjust war. A blood toll has been levied on your world in retribution for the crimes of its rulers. Serve us as you once served your old masters, and your lives may yet be spared. The sea wind rises, sweeping the plaza, dispersing clouds of pinkish mist that hover, trembling in the air. Maya raises her voice. And to the people of the allied worlds, I ask that you accept this levy as recompense for the suffering you have borne. The people sacrificed today were those who recognized your plight, understood the wrongs that had been done, were powerful enough to prevent further harm, yet did nothing to spare you your pains. Who looked for mercy when the struggle for justice had been won, but showed no mercy while it was underway? Maya searches the plaza for Farron's face. The woman's pale features are hard to read, neither pleased nor appalled, almost lost in the crowd. Catching Maya's glance, Farron gives a curt nod. Astrid, for her part, is already leaving, striding toward the shuttle waiting on the island cliffs. Heart shock, Maya thinks. It's in them all. Like a sickness, it passes from body to body, world to world, rapid as a rumor on the sub-spec relays, traveling the web of invisible vibrations that knits all points in space and time. With this address, I, Genetrix of the allied worlds, affirm the subjugation of Lovalis, announce its incorporation into the League of Allied Worlds, and impose upon its citizens the laws of our charter. Let it be decreed. The conning screens have been restored. Maya views them from the captain's cradle, watching two worlds disappear once. Along the border of the lower screens, the rim of Lovalis sinks from view, a rind of green land disappearing as the ship pulls out. Above, in the glittering ocean of space, the silver hulks of automatic sweepers drag flickering force mesh nets through the sky, trawling into waiting matter recompilers, the last bright bits of Morbus Moon. Maya's bracelet beeps. She is slow to respond. The pain in her chest is nearly paralyzing, a swirling cloud of distortion around her heart. At last she strokes her captain's bracelet, giving the signal to release the lock. Astrid enters with a click of steel heels, following the video deck along the rows of screens. She wears her uniform, crisp with recent cleaning, the sash of her newly granted rank, a bright green slash across her chest. Hands folded behind her back, she waits by the captain's cradle. They're ready for you, Captain. Maya nods, making no move to rise. Astrid settles into the nearby brace. Given how long you put off treatment, they think the damage might be too extensive for the surgeons to repair all at once. They can speed the healing with cellular stims. In the meantime, you'll wear a neural clip for the pain. Maya nods. Even this small effort makes her wince. She croaks a word, sound scraping her throat. Farron, gone, en route to Jatta. She seemed to think her people would be pleased with the news. Maya shifts, rustling the silk of the harness. And Valis? Astrid's eyes glide to the screens. They're surviving. The Mark is in a state of unrest. There's a leadership vacuum in the outer offices. They're trying to cope with a planet-wide panic. The new Overmare is consolidating her control, gathering supporters from the regional councils. It looks like it'll be touch and go for a time. She comes to the front of the cradle, meeting Maya's eyes. They study each other, not like former friends, but like two opponents negotiating a truce. Why didn't you tell me? Astrid says. Maya feels her face stiffen. There would have been no peace, no end to the war. I'm not asking why you did it, Captain. Astrid's frown. A planet-wide push. You must have planned for days, consulted with the fleet, told everyone except you. Maya reaches for the grips, straining to look her friend in the face. That's right, Assie. I told everyone but you. Why? I couldn't possibly have stopped. I can't even get you to see a doctor. How would I? You're right, Assie. Maya sighs. You couldn't have stopped me. Never have been able to change my mind. Why then? to protect, to shield me from the truth? Don't you know I'd have supported you even in this? Yes, said Maya softly, I know. And you shut me out. I don't understand. Why? Because, Assie, Maya's voice is so faint she herself can hardly barely hear it. I'm your captain, and it's my job to look out for my... Maya stretches, tightening her fists around the grip. She hands herself up out of the cradle, lowering, aching to the deck. Her eyes are fixed, not on Astrid, but on the few screens behind her, the fathomless dark between the stars. You would have helped me do it, Assie. That's why. That's enough. You would have done things I couldn't bear for you to do. Astrid spins away, glancing down at her bracelet. There's another alert for medical. They're starting to sound impatient down there. Acknowledge. I guess I always knew this about you, Captain. I always knew you were one stubborn bit. Maya doesn't look up as Astrid's boots tickle. The door hisses open and whispers shut. Maya eases away from her chair. She limps to the screens. The sweepers are finishing up the last traces. Dots of rock and dust and metal swept away in nets of light. Maya touches her chest, feeling pain beneath her fingers, a seething in her body from the universe, written in the hot language of the stars. She stands for a moment, concentrating on the sensation, even savor this flicker of starfire burning her heart. Then she turns, hobbling across the steel plate, and begins the trip down below deck to receive her treat.